Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week, for 1 hour, we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. I hope you enjoyed our show last week. We had a very interesting guest. His name was Buddy Piper. He was actually an actor on the Red Skelton show. Very interesting story about how that all came about. He also created the game show Concentration, and which turned out to be very successful. And he did that in one night. Very, very interesting man. And he had some very interesting paranormal stories to share as well. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that show, remember all the shows are archived on the VBS website. So check it out after the show or when you get a chance. I'm sure you'll be amazed as I was. But tonight we're moving in a slightly different direction. We have a very exciting guest. Her name is Amy Williamson. And boy, she has done some really interesting things that people are taking notice about currently. Amy has been interested in acting in the film broadcasting industry from a very early age. She's actually not only an actor, she's a writer, a director, and a producer, and a host. She has appeared in several television series and on the theater as well. She has formed her own new production company and has done a lot of other things. She co-founded the League of Extraordinary Paranormal Women and a Parawoman Scream Radio. She's begun filming a documentary in which she is profiling paranormal and supernatural activity across small-town USA. And all sorts of really other exciting stuff. She's got a bachelor's of art degree in sociology and a minor in psychology and communications, and has actually, you know, been working as a professional therapist for a number of years. So this brings, I think, a unique perspective to her research and experiences. So I want you all to give a nice warm welcome to our guest tonight, Amy Williamson. Amy, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Hi, Preston. Thanks for having me. Man, I'm tired after you reading that. I didn't realize I did all that.
No, wow, you're complicated. Sounds like you're having fun with it, though.
Yeah, I'm actually calling, speaking to you from the set of Dial M for Murder. I'm directing the production at the Sock Theater in Jonesville, Michigan, and we're doing our tech day, and it's been kind of a crazy day. My lead fell down some stairs, and she hurt her foot, and so she had to go to the ER, and so we're kind of running a little bit behind, so I said, guys, I have to take a break. And so they're running the second show, and I've got my co-director out there helping things along, and it's been an exciting time. I thought, what better time to do Dial M for Murder, which is a very macabre play, than in October. And we have this cool little thing because, you know, the 17th is Swedish Day, and we're doing a dinner and a show, and we're promoting it, like, you know, what better way than show your love for your Swedish than to take her out to a dinner and bring her to a show about murder.
Exactly. Very cool.
Very romantic.
Unfortunately, it's not good when your lead actor actually does break a leg.
Yeah. Well, luckily it's only a sprained foot, and we're hoping we open in 4 days, so we're hoping she'll be on maybe a cane, which is funny because the other, if you've ever seen Dial M for Murder, what it is a tennis star marries for money, and the wife has an affair, and the guy wants to commit the perfect murder and get her money, and a whole bunch of things backfire, and she fights back, and it ends up she ends up killing her murderer, and then he tries to frame the murder on her. And in one scene, the lead actor has a cane, and we were joking that they could just duel it out with their canes.
Well, that would work out.
Yeah. It's really great, though, and I'm having a good time with it. This is my first actual directing theater, and there's just so much that goes into it that I think next time I'm just going to be an actress.
Well, that was your original interest, and is that how you got involved in all of this stuff?
Yes, acting was my original interest. I started doing it in high school, and I did it in college, and mainly just theater. And probably about, I'd say about 6 years ago, I made the leap from theater over to film. And it was a leap, and so I had a hard time because, you know, in theater everything's big and bold and you're loud and you're robust and, you know, everything's over the top. But then on film, when you do that kind of thing, it just looks grotesque. And so they were just like, you know, Amy, take it down a notch, and you know, because I'm used to just projecting, and you know, and so and I had a hard time with it. So for the longest time, I stayed over. I didn't do theater, and I decided, well, you know, I really miss theater. What a great way to do theater would be to direct and not act. So that's what I'm doing while I'm still taking, because I feel every actor should continue to take acting classes and, you know, hone up on their abilities. So as I'm continuing to work with an acting coach for film and TV, I'm directing theater. So, and I'm happy with that.
Right. So how did it all start turning towards the paranormal? I mean, is that something you've...
Oh, it's always been the paranormal for me, sir, mister. I get asked that question a lot. How did I get into the paranormal? And this is my standard answer. I feel like there's two people in the paranormal. There's the people that have had this weird, unexplained occurrence that, you know, something out of the norm happened to them. It could be terrifying or it could be something wonderful, but it just shook them from their everyday reality, and it put them on the paranormal path where they needed to know what was out there. And then there's the other type of person that was just born wanting to know. That's me. I've just always wanted to know. I've always been interested in the ghost stories. I've always, growing up, I drifted more towards this, you know, the fictional books about witches and ghosts and, you know, vampires and, you know, cryptozoology type things. And I remember when I was 16, I started taking a meditation class, and I was the youngest person in the class, and they just thought that was so endearing that, you know, here's this little, you know, 16-year-old taking meditation classes with them. And then, you know, I did psychic development classes, and so I've just always been interested in that, the unknown. And so that's been me. And then as I've grown older, I've realized that I can take that paranormal and I can mix it in with my other love, which is acting. And I can do documentaries. I can do horror movies. I can do sci-fi. I can live out these things that have always interested me through film and theater. And it's exciting. It's just, you know, to bring it all to life. And even people think, you know, like, oh, paranormal investigation, that must be so exciting. And, you know, there's a lot of downtime when it's not that exciting, when you're just kind of sitting there in the dark, you know, like, hey there, buddy, what's going on, you know? And then later you've got to go through these hours and hours of footage. So, I mean, it really has to be something that interests you.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, I'm probably the two categories that you mentioned, I'm probably the first, because I was a skeptic, really. So it's interesting that you always believed in this stuff. You weren't, about your family? They never gave you, you know, flack for believing in ghosts or stuff? Because my family thinks I'm crazy, honest to God, because I think ghosts are real. I mean, I know ghosts are real. I mean, I've certainly got enough evidence of it, but still have family members who don't believe it?
Well, I think I probably do have family members that don't believe me, but I'm in a stage in my life where I don't care what they think. I just do what I do. I mean, I drive around with a license plate that says paranormal on it. You know, it's like pretty obvious, you know. And just before I came to do this radio interview, I had forgotten my keys, and I went back out on stage, and I heard them talking about me, and they're like, yeah, she drives a car that says paranormal on it, you know. So, I mean, I'm out of the paranormal closet, so to speak. So, I, you know, and it's a very small town, and I run Haunted Hillsdale is my paranormal investigation group, which I only do that when people need help nowadays. Before, it was like a group, and we, you know, we were on Johnny on the scene, you know, whether people just wanted proof or not. But now I only do it when it's alarming to them and they're upset by it, and I'll come out and I'll help them because I'm just so busy that I don't have time for that to be just like a hobby anymore. It's more like it's turned into, I feel like it's a responsibility to help people. I'm not one of those people that I know there's some teams, and I'm not trying to bash anyone, that will only go out for evidence and evidence only,
right.
But they won't help them with the haunting. It's like, yeah, but what about these people that are scared to death and they want help? What are you going to do for them? And if I can't help them, then I find someone who will help them. And, you know, it's that time of year, and I'm getting the phone calls, and I'm trying to juggle it, and I'm trying to go out and help them in between doing this Dial On for Murder and planning the second annual Victorian Haunting Experience. So I'm really a little overwhelmed, but fall time is my time, and I'm in my element, and I love it. And come November, I'll be like, what do I do now? You know, I don't have anything to do.
Well, I'm sure you'll find something. Well,
I've already been asked to come to a paranormal conference because I do. I also do Para Women Scream Radio. We're every Thursday, and we profile women in the paranormal and the horror fields. And we have been going out to conferences and broadcasting live, where people can just tune on to the internet and watch us at the conference interacting. We bring the guests over and we interview them. And so we've already been asked to go to one in November. So, yeah, you're right. I'll always find something.
Yeah, well, and I think people are getting more and more interest in this field, which used to be kind of considered, I think, really off the beaten path. But now it's getting more mainstream with all these shows on TV, the Ghost Whisperer,
right.
You know, and Medium, and all these new ghost hunting shows.
It's hot right now, for sure. And with that comes the weirdos, so...
Well, you take the good with the bad.
Exactly.
You know what I think is really interesting about the way you're approaching this field is acting. I think there's a connection between acting and the paranormal anyway, and actors, because a lot of actors are really psychic, and I think you have to be really intuitive to be a successful actor and be able to, you know, step into other people's shoes and viewpoints and get the empathy and all that going. And another thing that I think there's a connection is that theaters, I can't think of a single theater that hasn't had some haunting story coming out of it. For some reason, theaters are all haunted.
I have a theory, and it's not a proven theory, and, you know, you could probably poke a bunch, drive a semi-truck to it, but this is my theory, and it's the same theory with College Town. I think that so much energy passes through this building, that the theater buildings, I say this because I'm sitting in one, but there's so much energy that passes through here, and it's so many different kinds of people's energies, and then it's just that, it's that anxious energy, and it's that alive energy, it's that vibrant energy, and so it's just like a light socket for paranormal activity, not to mention a lot of hauntings are simply people who have crossed over and they come back to where they enjoyed their life the most. And what more, you know, to be an actor, you have to enjoy the limelight. You have to enjoy that spotlight on you, and you have to enjoy commanding the stage. And, you know, and I think that's why there's so much haunting activity, is because it's got so much energy that's just buzzing through the whole place. And the same with the College Town. I think there's so much energy that passes through from students coming for 4 years and leaving, and it's just such an exciting, I mean, for me, my college years were so exciting, and, you know, and I was just on a new path, and, you know, it's just that energy, and it's just perfect. It's the perfect light socket for the plug-in for the paranormal activity.
Well, that would make sense, because hotels are like that as well, which have a lot of people coming and going and doing exciting things. Or genius things.
Yeah. I've actually been to the Roosevelt when, because it was supposed to be haunted by Montgomery Clifton and Marilyn Monroe, and I went during on New Year's Eve, which that's why it's not a good time to investigate anything. When there's like all these people and music and everything. But yeah, hotels especially.
Interesting. So you're actually going out on your own haunting investigations and going into haunted houses and the whole deal?
Yep, I've been doing that. I have, I'd say over, 100 hours of footage that's being compiled into a documentary for the first year of my Haunted Hillsdale's investigation. Like I said, now we only go out when it's something negative, when it's something scaring someone. We come out and we help them. Because right now I just don't have time to just, go out for the fun of it. It's got to be, somebody has to need help for me to be able to make time. And I do make time because, like I said, I feel like I have a responsibility. Now that I've entered into this field, I feel a sense of obligation to help people and not just simply, tromp around and have fun with it.
Right. Well, I think there's a lot of people out there who are searching for help and really don't know where to turn or who to call.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what's exciting with our, I have a Victorian haunting experience that we do. Last year we did it in Wyandotte, Michigan, and this year it's in Dearborn, Michigan, and we hold it at a museum, and we turn back the clock 200 years, because when you think of, there's a seance involved, and you think about that kind of thing, you think about, Victorian, a tea parlor, that type of thing. And so we wanted to create not an event, but an experience. So we decided to call it the Victorian Haunting Experience. And what we do is this year we're going to be at the Dearborn McFadden Ross Museum, and we're going to have a tea time where we drink tea and we kind of talk about ghost stories. And then after that, we're going to turn our cups over and we're going to read our tea leaves. And then there's going to be a seance and there's going to be a paranormal investigation. And this place has never been investigated. And that's another, I don't know if you've noticed, Kristen, but landmarks, historical places tend to be haunted as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
so
museums.
We're going to, So we're going to investigate. And there's also going to be a period costume contest, which is completely optional. And we're going to have some raffle drawings that, our sponsors have donated. We have books, we have jewelry, we have Halloween art, we have psychic readings, we have past life readings. It's just going to be a whole night of fun. And if you're interested in attending, it's on October 30th and 31st, and you can go to www.amywilliamson.net, or you can email me at hauntedhillsdale@comcast.net to purchase tickets.
Okay, that's www.amywilliamsonyourname.net. Okay, cool. What an event. Right over Halloween.
I know. I'm so excited about it. We've been selling a lot of tickets, and we do have a limited seating, so it's best to, buy in advance. I can't guarantee that if you show up at the door, you'll be able to get into the event. And also all of our patrons that night will go away with a trick-or-treat goodie bag, which will be filled with, paranormal delights, and, we'll have, our sponsors will have their information in there, and also we're still accepting sponsors, so if you're interested in being a sponsor, it's really easy. For $20 and or a service or product that is equal to $20, we will PR you, we will put you in all our press releases. We talk about you on our radio show. You're up on our web pages. So it's just kind of like, added benefit. We just PR you all over the place. And I can't think of a better deal.
It's like a major conference almost. It's really cool, all those different things that people can do. What a lot of fun. That sounds like it'll do really well.
Well, it's not really like a conference. We like to keep ours smaller and more intimate. So it'll be like limited between, I think, we can seat 70, but we're going to cap it, I believe, at 50, so that it's more intimate. It's going to be more, one-on-one, where you can actually be in the same room with the speakers and that, that kind of thing. We like to make it an experience and not just an event, if that makes any sense.
Oh, no, that totally does. Very cool. Oh, that's kind of a big deal. It sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, it is a lot of fun. Last year we had so much fun, and we're hoping to actually plan another conference called A Haunting Romance in February in Hollywood, which will be along the same lines, but it's going to be kind of like a kind of a horror-filled, romantic, vampire-ish kind of, you know, dark event. And so we like to keep things creative and fun and funky.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your Parawoman Screen Radio. What a great name that is.
We had our 2-year anniversary in June or July, I can't remember. So we've been on the air for 2 years, and it started out with the League of Extraordinary Paranormal Women. And when I first got into the paranormal, I noticed that there were a lot of guys leading the way, men charging through the fields, and the women were like their secretaries or their social workers or whatever, you know, case managers, whatever they wanted to call them. And
like
I thought,
the,
you know,
UFOs too, as well.
Yeah, and the cryptozoology too, from what I'm told. And so I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great to, because I even saw there was a League of Extraordinary Paranormal Gentlemen, and I thought, you know, why isn't there a League of Extraordinary Paranormal Women? And so I spoke to the other women in my group and in my social circle, and I thought, you know, what would you think about doing this? And we could just, you know, support one another. And they said, yeah, that'd be a great idea. And from that, we decided we wanted to do a radio show, and so we called it Parrot Women Radio. And it was, first, I think we went from 1 hour to 2 hours, and now we're at 1.5 hours of all paranormal. And we had, because I love acting and I love the horror industry and sci-fi, and my co-host does as well, we revamped the show this year and we turned it into Parawoman Scream Radio. And so the first segment we interview women in the paranormal, and then the second segment we typically interview women in writing horror, acting, producing, directing, that are more in the horror, sci-fi type industry. And we air on Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio, although come at the end of October we are switching networks. I don't want to announce that yet, but we are going to be making a move, and it's going to allow us to be on AM FM radio as well as on the internet. So we're really excited about that. And right now I actually am taking a break because of the play and the hunting experience, and my two other people that do the group, do the show with me, Shannon Overland and Beverly Van Pelt, are manning the fort or womaning the fort. And really exciting. It's an exciting show, and we look forward to it, and we even call our Thursdays Thurs Fry, because it feels like when Parawoman Radio, the show hits, it feels like it's Friday. You know, it feels like the week's over and we can have fun and party. And we're very informal. All of the guests, you know, say, wow, it just feels like we're just talking to friends, you know. And we try to get their information out there, but we also do it in a very informal, fun way.
Right, very interesting, very, very interesting. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest is Amy Williamson, and we're talking about all the amazing things she has done with her new radio program, Parawoman Scream Radio. She's directing the play Dial M for Murder, and involved in the second annual A Victorian Haunting Experience, which is currently taking place in October. You can learn more about these events at her website, which is actually her name, www.amywilliamson.net. That's all one word, Amy Williamson. Check it out after the show. You'll find lots of very interesting information there. And I want to remind you all that this is a call-in show, so if you have a question for our guest, or if you'd like to share a story of your own or have a comment, please give us a call. Here's the toll-free number, so get your pen ready. It's 888 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that one more time. 888-228-4494. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. But now let's get back to our esteemed guest, Amy Williamson. Now, Amy, I have a question for you, and I was wondering if you have had any personal, you know, encounters with the paranormal, you know, that you can share. Any of your own, like, ghost encounters or out-of-body experiences?
Well, I can tell you my very first paranormal encounter that I ever had. I was in the sixth grade, so I don't know what age that puts me, maybe 10 or something, I don't remember, and, or 11, and, we had a little poodle that, and the poodle's name was Deju, and, she got sick, and we had to put her down, and this was my first actually experience with death, and I had never experienced the loss of a loved one or anything like that, and I remember just being heartbroken and crying and being very upset. And I remember waking up the next day and, you know, when you realize that someone you love is passed on and, you know, just that, you know, like, oh, it wasn't a dream, it's true. And I just remember being very upset that week. And one night we had hardwood floors. And one night I heard the little clickety clack of, because she always had really long fingernails, and I remember toenails. And I'm humanizing my dog, I'm sorry. And she came clickety clacketing down the hallway, and I thought, that's very strange. And I opened up my eyes, and I looked, and I saw this little dark mass moving across the floor, and all the time I heard the little clickety clacketing. And it jumped up on my bed, and it disappeared, but there was that indentation there where she would sleep. That was my first encounter with the paranormal, and it didn't scare me. It really didn't scare me. It was more comforting than anything. In my adventures in paranormal investigating, I've had some pretty interesting experiences. As you said, I feel when you're doing this type of activity, it does heighten your psychic abilities. By no means I wouldn't go out and, you know, hang out my shingle and call myself a psychic, but I do get more psychic impressions than I did prior to doing this as a full-time type thing. And last year around this time, I had a woman call me, and she was experiencing some activity in her home, which was frightening her. And she wasn't going to do too much about it, but then it started frightening her young daughters. She worked nights, and she would hear a rattling of a doorknob in her breezeway, and when she would get up, it would stop, and it would do this about 3 o'clock every night, 3 a.m. And one night she works at a nursing home. Her daughters called her and said, you know, Mom, please come home. There's somebody trying to get in the house. And so she said, well, now I need to do something about it because it's scaring my daughters. And so she wanted a house blessing, and I couldn't find anyone to do it. And I like to go in on an investigation, and I go with the religion that the person is, because I feel like a lot of the cleansing and the blessing and whatnot comes from their spiritual faith, their strength, because if you admit fear during a haunting, it can just grow and escalate because it's going to feed off of that fear. Well, if you admit calmness and peacefulness and, you know, your religious belief, then I believe that it's going to help calm and release the spirit. And so I asked her, you know, what was her religious faith, and she said that she was Christian. So I pulled up some Christian prayers, and I was running late that day because I was the next day I was going on a casting call, and I had to get my headshots printed off, and I was just, it was a bad day. I couldn't get them printed off, and you know, and I've had this pointed out to me by other people when I told the story, and like they said, haven't you ever noticed like things go wrong when you go out to try to do an investigation when you're going to clear things? Like it's almost like they're preventing it, like they know you're coming. And I, you know, I never thought about that, but yeah, it was a weird bad day, and I was running late, and I called her and I said, you know, I'm running late. I'm going to probably be about a half hour late, and I do apologize. And she said, that's no problem. And I was really thirsty because I was running from place to place trying to get it. And I thought, you know, should I stop and get something to drink? And I was like, no, I'm really late. I don't want to do that to her. And so I showed up, and she said, after I got off the phone with you, she said, something really weird happened. And I said, yeah. And she said, my coffee maker started brewing coffee. And I said, really? And she's like, yeah, you know, coffee is like my favorite drink. And I said, she's like, do you want some coffee? And I'm like, okay, I'll have some of your ghostly coffee, thank you. And so I'm sipping my ghostly coffee, and she's telling me the story of everything that had been going on. And she said that, like, all heck had broke loose that day, and her dryer had broke, and she had bought a new dryer, and she said it sounded like it was dragging my dryer across the basement, and she said it sounded like it was bouncing a ball upstairs, and the doorknobs were rattling, and there was just a lot of stuff going on. And I said, okay. I said, well, you know, I like to start from the bottom up, so let's go to the basement, because we were going to do a blessing, but we were also going to smudge the house. And you know, and I just kind of explained to her what was going to happen, and we were in the basement, and I said, has anyone died in this house? And she's like, well, I really don't know the history, and, you know, and this name, Larry, just kept screaming in my head, and I don't usually say what I'm hearing, but I said, you know, I'm just getting this name, Larry, it's just coming forward in my head, and I don't know why. And she's like, well, I don't, that name just doesn't mean anything to me, and I'm sorry. And I said, okay, well, we did the whole blessing, and the next day she emailed me, and she said, oh, thank you so much. It was very quiet in the house, and nothing kind of happened. And I said, very nice, very good. And so two or three days later, she emailed me, and she said, you know, I got the story of what happened in the house, and someone did pass away. And I said, really? And she said there was a man named John who was terminally ill. He was very sick, and he would get up every day and have coffee with his nephew Larry in the breezeway, and he would look forward to that moment where he could have coffee with Larry in the breezeway, and he died before he could have that coffee with Larry.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so I was like, wow, it just kind of all pulled together, and it made sense why the breezeway door was rattling and why the coffee brewed, and you know, why I got the name Larry. And it just was like rockets that went off, you know. And I was like, wow. And she's like, and it kind of helped her, because she said, you know, now that I know who it is, it's not as frightening. And that's what I find when I go on investigations. I don't have a problem bringing the psychic, because it just kind of helps soothe the person when there's a name or a face to what's going on, you know, so they know it's not out to hurt them, it's not out to harm them. She emails me periodically. She said that John, you know, still bounces the ball, and, you know, but when I was there and I said to the spirit, I said, you are scaring these homeowners, and this is unacceptable and inappropriate, and you cannot carry on with this behavior. And so I said to her, and I said, you have to be forceful. I said, you have to, you know, take back your home and say, this is unacceptable and I will not tolerate this. And she said that, you know, since then he's been very respectful and he hasn't been, you know, waking him up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And, and we did talk about, you know, him crossing over and going to the loved ones, and, you know, they're probably waiting for him. And, you know, Larry will join him soon, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so, that was a haunting experience that I had.
Wow. Well, that's something else. It's amazing. You know, there's so many ghosts out there. I'm wondering, you know, what your theories are about the whole ghost experience, because, you know, there's spirits and there's, like, what are they called, residual hauntings and things like this, and of course, poltergeists and demons as well, and some people say there's non-human ghosts. And,
yeah,
of course, there are animal ghosts, as you've explained, your own experience. So,
yeah, I think there are. There's the residual haunting, which is just a moment caught in time that will play itself over and over again. And no matter what you do, you cannot stop that. It's like been tape recorded in time, or burned on the DVD to bring it up to year 2009. And there's nothing you can do. It will just happen. And you will not be able to interact with that spirit, because it's just a moment caught in time. That's all it is. And then there's the intelligent haunting that will, which I believe John was an intelligent haunting, interacted, tried to give us signs, must have been screaming his name in my head. I don't know, because I've never, you know, nothing like that's ever happened before. And then I also feel like a lot of people are quick to be like, from Paranormal State, like, oh, it's a demon ghost, it's a demon, you know. Well, you know what? If they were a bad person in life, if they could be a bad person in the afterlife, so that could just be a bad person haunting your house. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's demonic. And I think in my lifetime, I probably will never, even though I go out and investigate, I really think that I will never encounter a demonic haunting. I think they're so rare and far and few between. And with Paranormal State, they've just made it so rampant that, oh, I've got a demon in my house. No, you've just got a bad ghost in your house.
Mm-hmm. I do think
they exist, but I think they're much more rare than people think. And so, yeah.
I wonder about that. Well, Hans Holzer, he's a really famous ghost investigator. He said he never ran across a single case which he would call a demon. Mm-hmm. Whereas Ed and Lorraine Warren, also very influential investigators, you know, have a lot of so-called.
Have you had Lorraine on your show?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Oh, she's so fabulous, Preston. You have to get her on. We had her on our show, and I love her. She's funny story about Lorraine. I contacted her investigation group. I think it's New England something. I can't remember. And they're like, yes, Miss Warren would love to come on your show. Mrs. Warren, I should say, Miss Warren would love to come on your show. So they gave me her phone number, and I called her, and it was like 11 o'clock at night, and someone was calling me, and I'm like, who is calling me at 11 o'clock at night? And it was Lorraine Warren. I was like, oh, Lorraine Warren just called me at 11 o'clock at night. And she's like, listen, honey, I'd love to come on your show. And she had these parrots in the background or cockatiels or something. And she's like, just call me the week of. And she's like, you know, activity has really picked up. And she's like, I've got, you know, to go on Paranormal State. And there's, you know, this and that. And she eventually came on the show. And it was fantastic having her on. She's a delight. And we actually have had Alexandra Holzer, which is Hans Holzer's daughter, and she's actually a very cool person as well. She's from New York, and she'll bring that New York fierceness.
I have had her on the show as well. So.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah, they're both amazing. And Ed and Lorraine Warren, boy, they collected an incredible array of ghost evidence. I mean, you can't walk away from the book not believing in ghosts.
I believe in the Amityville. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't believe in it, but I believe in it. And there was a documentary that I remember watching probably 3 years ago that just scared me. I had to turn it off because I was watching it late at night, and they had where Lorraine and Ed were in the house, and they were investigating, and they caught this picture of this kid, and it was like peeking around a corner, and its eyes were glowing. I was like, ooh, well, I can't watch this.
I believe the Amityville thing as well, because I mean, not only have I run across several cases which match that pattern exactly, but I have a good friend who talked to the Lutzes. Who actually spoke to the Lutzes, and the Lutzes refused to talk about it other than to say that, oh yeah, it was real. So
wow.
That's kind of third hand there, hearsay, but it's still pretty close, you know. Cause,
yeah.
So I have no doubt that that case occurred.
Yeah.
What a case, you know. And have you run across very extreme cases then?
No, I haven't run across any extreme, terrifying cases. I've been contacted, and I've been willing to come out, but it was very strange. I think that kind of activity kind of messes with people's minds, and a lot of times there's mental illness or there's some kind of drug or substance abuse that coincides with it, and I guess as it turned out, it was difficult to kind of help them because they were so off the chart that it was hard to even, you know, get a grasp on what was going on.
Wow. Very interesting. So where do you think this is all going to take you in the future? And what are your plans to upcoming?
Well, after October, is over. I plan on taking maybe a week off and breathing. And then I'm going to, I've been turning down a lot of casting calls because of what I have, the obligations I have here at the theater and with the Victorian haunting. So I'm going to turn back to more acting. The radio show, we're moving it to another station. We're going to be hitting some conferences and broadcasting from there. I think what my biggest desire, I want to turn back, focus more on my own acting. Getting out there and just going on more casting calls. Because Michigan, you know, signed that tax incentive. So we have tons of movies coming here. And I've been having to turn down going to even just, like, you know, minor casting because I can't get away. I did one for a SAG film. I drove to Detroit, and which is a two-hour drive for me, and for two lines that I read. And then I turned back, and I drove 2 hours back to where I live. And I thought, I just, you know, I can't do this until this is all done because it was a whole day for me.
All right. Well, you picked a hard field, acting. It's very competitive and highly creative.
Well, I'm always one up for a challenge, and I have the ego of an actor, so I can handle it. I'm a can-do kind of girl, Preston.
Well, I'm glad you're still doing the paranormal stuff, because, you know, I think that's important, and to, like you say, have a more recognizable female presence in the whole field would definitely do it some good.
Well, and also with the Goodnight Gnome Productions, we have some TV shows on the table that we're working on, some reality-based TV shows that we're just waiting to hear back from. They're in production. And they're being pitched to networks. And there's also a movie that I'm working on that I'm producing that it was a little small indie film that just kind of exploded into now it's sitting on, you know, Paramount, HBO, a few other companies have it in their hand, and we're just waiting to hear back from them to see if they want to go ahead with it or, you know, what's going on. So I never thought of, you know, a script that I helped wrote that I was going to be the lead in, but I've stepped down so that, you know, we can try to sell the script or be co-producers or whatever to make it into a big budget movie. I never thought it would go this far, but I will say that we had a psychic on Parawoman Scream Radio, and they said that something big was going to happen in January, and I was, like, waiting and waiting, and then I got the call for this script, and, you know, we were talking, and the psychic said it would have something to do with horses, and I'm like, horses? I'm terrified of horses. I just see that happening. And I said to the guys, I said, are there horses involved in this? And they said, well, one of the set locations will be a horse farm. And I was like, oh, well, this is my horse. So we call this movie My Horse.
I mean, well, the psychics can be very, very accurate.
Yes, I love having psychics on. We haven't had a psychic on our show in a while, but when they come on, I like to. But then I went through a point where we were having so many psychics on, and, you know, they were telling me so many cross information that I was, like, feeling overwhelmed, and, like, I just stopped asking. I know.
Right.
So you can get psychic overload.
One thing, Amy, I want to ask you, because I ask pretty much all the guests, is what they think about UFOs, and have you ever had a UFO experience?
Oh, my UFO experience. I've never had a UFO experience in my life until, I think it was not last year, but the year before, I went on a paranormal investigation, and this guy, he had a substance abuse problem, and we just kind of chucked it up to that, and we thought, you know, it's this guy that, you know, he's creating his own more poltergeist type activity, and if it is haunted, it's, you know, it's this negative energy drawing him in. But he mentioned that there was, like, UFO activity, and I remember standing outside, and it was up north Michigan, and we were looking up into the sky, and I remember the sky was so pretty, and I thought, man, this guy's crazy. You know, that's what I was thinking. And so I went home, and then a week later, my husband works nights, and it was a Friday night, and so he was up downstairs, and I went to sleep, and I woke up, and it was not that late. I'd only been sleeping for a little while, and I saw this thing at the edge of my bed. And I was like, what is that? And when I told my friend, who was a ufologist, the only way I could describe it was like a cross between the alien from the movie Alien and an El Chupacabra. And he's like, oh, he said, was it reptilian in nature? And I said, yes. And he said, oh, no. And I was like, what? He goes, those are the worst kind. And I'm like, ah! He said, was it by a door? And I said, yes, it was by my closet door. He said, oh, no. I was like, what? He said, they use them as portals. I was like, ah, what do I do? You know, because it was like that. I saw it very clearly, and it did that full mind matrix thing, like maybe it'll go away. It didn't go away. And finally it went away, and I rolled over, and I turned on the radio. Because I was a little rattled by it, but I wasn't, like, so scared that, you know, like, a lot of people were like, you know, you would have seen my outline on the door. I would have been out of that door, that room so fast, but for some reason, I didn't. I just rolled over, and I turned on the radio, and the sound was coming, this dialect was coming out of the radio, but it was one that I'd never heard before, and it was looping. And I turned off the radio, and I was like, okay, let's turn on the TV. Wow. And so I turned on the TV, and that was my foray into the reptilian. And we had Elaine Douglas from MUFON on, and she's like, oh, honey, you need to, you know, have a hypnotherapist and see if you've lost time. And I'm like, Elaine, you don't understand. I don't want to know if I want to know. Aliens scare me. I believe in them 100%, but they scare me to death. I don't want to deal with aliens.
All right. I can understand that. That can be very scary.
But, somebody said that they thought maybe they were just, you know, like, this, you know, I was up investigating this place, and they were just, you know, checking me out, like, why was I here? I was, you know, harmless, and so they haven't, I've not seen them since, and it's been, you know,
that's
almost
exactly what
years.
I was going to say. I think when you start to investigate this kind of stuff that, I mean, this was true in my case, and I know for a lot of other UFO investigators, that if you start looking into UFOs, they look into you a little bit, and I think
it's like
part,
the CIA or something, you know? They're kind of the FBI. They're checking me out. And I'm like, look,
exactly.
No, I want nothing to do with UFOs. Although we, Hillsdale, Michigan, in the 60s, co-ed saw a UFO land in the arboretum of the college. And so
yeah. We
did have an anniversary thing. My group did where we, you know, retraced the steps and we had the news with us and all that stuff. But I'm not out investigating UFOs. They scare me.
Yeah, well, Michigan's a huge hotspot as well. I think it's one of the top 10 states. I know it has a lot of waves of well-verified activity.
I'm on a fault line, Preston. What I'm told, I'm on a fault line. But no.
Well,
and reptilians, he said that they're the most evolved, and they kind of meddle in people's affairs. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. Because with the paranormal, I feel like I can control it. I can, like, you know, say my prayers and do my blessings. But with UFOs, they just, you know, whatever they do, they paralyze you. They, you know, break out your mind, your memory. And no, I don't, you know, and then there's the whole anal probing and, you know, the genetic mutations and, no. No, thank you. Although I do think that sometimes when I'm driving down the road, I will notice people that don't quite fit their skin. And when I do, they notice me. And then I know that they're not quite right. There's something different about them.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more going on than a lot of people realize in the whole field. Yeah.
Preston, like maybe a year ago, or I don't even know if it was quite a year ago, I was driving, and I saw this really weird person walking down the street. Didn't look right. They didn't quite fit their skin. And I looked at them in my rearview mirror, and they had turned totally around and were staring at me.
Oh, that's spooky.
Yeah. I was like, not bothering you, you know.
I'll
drive
go on my
along.
Way. Doors.
Keep it moving. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, well, I think you're doing good work, so you have nothing to worry about. And if an alien comes by, they're just checking you out, like they're just to see what's going on. I don't think they're out to hurt people.
Hope so. I hope you're right. The verdict is still out on the aliens. I don't know enough about. I know that I believe they're out there. I just don't know enough about them to give too much of an opinion on them. I know that when I read the books about the aliens is when I stay up at night and I can't sleep. So chameleon scared me. Fire in the sky scared me. I can't do it.
That's interesting because, you know, I talk to people who are abductees, and to them, ghosts scare them dreadfully. I talk to mediums and, ghost investigators. I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about UFOs. No, it's...
I dig the cryptozoology, but I don't like the UFO.
That's interesting. Well, we've just got like a couple of minutes left, so I want to give you a chance to talk about anything we haven't covered yet. Your website is your name, amywilliamson.net.
.net, and it's fun, not S-I-N, but it's williamson.net. So, if you want to email me, you can do it at hauntedhillsdale@comcast.net. I'm on MySpace. We're Haunting Experience on MySpace and Haunted Hillsdale on MySpace, and I'm Love and Horror on Facebook, and I'm Amy Williamson on Twitter, and that's all the social networking sites I'm doing. I'm not doing anymore.
Yeah, well, the internet is taking over. It's a kind of encyclopedia of the modern day. So.
I know. I feel like it's just like brought us all closer together. It's like throwing a huge lasso out there, and it's just like pulled everyone together.
Yeah, it's an amazing
thing. It's really weird. It's really weird when you're walking around and someone's like, oh, you're on my MySpace page. And I'm like, oh, got like 4,000 people. Yeah, hi. How are you doing there?
It's cool, though. It's very cool.
Oh, I love MySpace. And Beverly Van Pelt is my co-host for Parawomen Scream Radio, and she has a fabulous website that people should check out. It's called Sunny Side of the Graveyard, and it has little cool cooking. She's called the Gothic Gourmet, and she's really into the cooking, and it's got off-the-beaten-track kind of novelty items, and she's running a Halloween special, so you should check it out.
Sunny Side of the Graveyard.
Yeah.
Very nice.
She's very unique and fantastic.
Very cool. So people can go to get information on that Halloween event at your website?
Yes, at www.amywilliamson.net, and it's the second annual Victorian Haunting Experience in Dearborn, Michigan.
Awesome. Well, Amy, that's pretty much all the time we have for tonight, but I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show. It's been awesome.
Thank you for having me, Preston. You're awesome as well.
All right, everyone. That is our show for tonight. I want to thank you all so much for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest has been Amy Williamson, actor, writer, director, producer, host extraordinaire. Lots of interesting stuff. And if you want to get more information about her and her events, go to her website, www.amywilliamson.net. And thank you all for listening, and I hope you can join us next week when we bring on another exciting guest on UFOs and the Paranormal on the BBS Network. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.